Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here in the sanctuary. And we thank you, Father God, for all those who are watching the live stream. And Father, I pray that they will have ears to hear and have a heart to receive your word, Father. And I pray that their lives will be changed because of your word. And now, Father, I thank you for your call and anointing upon me to minister your word. And Father God, we know that your word would never return unto you void, but it will work in our lives. Hallelujah. It will work in our lives, and we give you the glory for that, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Now, last week, I began to minister to you concerning having fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and I did not finish, and I think my title actually was The Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I began to share with you how that, and I have been for a few weeks, how that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you're born again, God dwells on the inside of you. Amen. Yes, he does. He dwells on the inside of us. And I've also shared with you how we need to be mindful of that fact, that the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. Amen. And where we go, he go. Glory to God. But I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians, chapter 13. Now, in this book, the Apostle Paul had been ministering to the Corinthian church. This is his second letter to this church. And now he's nearing the end. Matter of fact, he's at the end of his letter. And this is what he said. This is how he ended this letter to the Corinthian church. And of course, we have to understand, though, that this also applies to you and me as well. Amen? Praise God. So I just, in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, I want to begin reading at the 11th verse. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." And then he gave, as even as he was closing, he was still giving them instructions. He said, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete." And that's a sermon right by itself. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. And Lord, don't we need that in the church? Amen. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Hallelujah. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. But now let's take a close look at the 14th verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Now, I want to read that again, okay? The 14th verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. And then he concluded by saying, Amen. Now, what I want to focus on in this session is the communion of the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this again. The communion of the Holy Spirit. We need to commune with the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. You hear me? Every day, we need to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. And that's the problems. That's the problem with some believers, is that they're trying to live their life without the Holy Spirit, without being and by the way, this word communion simply means fellowship. Fellowship. We are to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit at all times. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. And by the way, I've said this before and I'll say it again today, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is the third person of the Godhead. God the Father. God the Son. That's Jesus Christ. And God, the Holy Spirit, he is the one that dwells with us and on the inside of us on a daily basis. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is in your life for a reason. Yes, yes, we understand that if he is not dwelling on the inside of us, we are not born again. Amen? Because the Bible tells us if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we're none of his. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're none of his. I'm talking about being born again. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Now, there's the born again experience with the Holy Spirit, and then there's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I may share some in that area before we quit, maybe. But I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. The born again experience and the infilling experience. There is a reason behind it. There's a reason for it. The Holy Spirit is in our life for a reason. And Jesus said that I won't leave you as orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you helpless. He said, I'm going to send you another helper, another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. You're still here. So the Apostle Paul was telling them that, let me read it again because I want you to get this in your spirit. The grace of, this is verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, here's Another point I want to make before we go on. The Holy Spirit does not fight with himself. He's not in conflict with himself. The same Holy Spirit that dwells in my life is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in your life. Amen? Because he's everywhere present. But the same Holy Spirit in me is the same Holy Spirit in you. And listen, can I tell you something? When we make a decision that we are going to flow with the Holy Spirit, that we're going to walk in the Holy Spirit, guess what? We'll get along with one another. We'll love one another. We'll be there for one another. Hallelujah. See, that's how we are all related. You know, and I'm not going to get into this, but the believers, the church of the living God, has got to understand something, that doesn't matter where you're from, who your mama is, who your daddy is. If you're born again, we're all related. Well, let me say that again. If we're born again, we're all related because we all have the same spirit.
Amen.
You're still here. Praise the name of the Lord. If we are walking in the Spirit the way we should, the way God wants us to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, the devil wouldn't stand a chance. But too many times we step away and get in the flesh. No, see. Again, I don't have time for that either, but if you read Galatians, in the book of Galatians, it talks about the works of the flesh, and it talks about being led by the Holy Spirit. And when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're not in the flesh. In order to follow the flesh, you got to stop following the Spirit of God. Amen. If I decide, which I'm not and never will, I'm just using y'all as an example, but if I decide that I just don't like this brother and I just don't like this sister, you know, I just can't stand them. Well, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit has no part in that. I had to step aside and get in the flesh and decide that I was going to have something against them. You still with me? If we are flowing the Spirit of God, if we follow him, if we have communion and fellowship with the Spirit of God, do you know, and I know you know, because I'm sure it's happened to you. Anytime I'm tempted to think anything contrary of someone else, the Spirit automatically, the Holy Spirit automatically convicts me, and you know that's not right. You know that you know that's not right. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Have you ever been tempted to do something, think something, say something, then the Spirit of the Lord dealt with you about it? Come on, be on. Raise your hands if you have. Mine's already up. See. Amen. That's what we have, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He's to help us. If we'll stay in fellowship with him. Amen. All right. Praise the name of the Lord. One thing I want you to understand is the reason for the Holy Spirit in your life First reason is it sets you apart because we belong to God. Another reason is he wants to lead us and guide us into the perfect will of God for our lives. The Bible tells us that for as many as are led, as a matter of fact, we find that in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Or if you're of the female gender, then daughters of God. Now, hear me good. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or daughters of God. What is the Holy Spirit going to do in my life? What is he going to do in your life? He's going to lead me on a daily basis to where he wants me to be. Now, I'll just use myself personally. For example, I did not, hear me good, I did not choose to be in ministry. Okay? But I spent time in the Word of God. I spent time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And then God began to talk to me about his plans for my life. Now, I could have did one or two things, which I did. I accepted the call of God on my life, but also I could have rejected it. God did not make me become a preacher or a pastor. That's my calling. I could have accepted it or rejected it. And there are many people that reject the call of God on their life, whether it's fivefold ministry or where it's something else. God is talking to them, and they are rejecting it. Can I tell you something else? Every need, you listening to me? Every need that you ever have in your life has already been provided for. I'm going to repeat that. Every need that you ever have in your life has already been provided for. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. But you have to understand, just because it's been provided for does not mean necessarily that you're going to walk in it. Simply because there's a devil out there that Jesus told us all about him. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, now, take a look at John 10:10. You don't have to turn there, but that's where it is. If the thief comes to steal, let me ask you a question. Do a thief try to break in and steal from from someone that don't have anything? Right? A thief goes after folk that he knows has something. So he tried to break in and steal it. So the thief comes to steal that you have. He comes to kill, take your very life if possible. And he comes to destroy. everything good. In other words, everything that Jesus has given us, everything that God's given us, the thief wants to steal it from us. And many times, he's successful. You hear? Many times, he's successful. Why is he successful? Sometimes it's because of our ignorance. What I mean there, we just simply don't know. We don't know what we have. That's the reason we are to study the Word of God. Amen? That's the reason we're to stay in the Word of God. Find out what belongs to us. Amen? Find out who we are in Christ Jesus. Understand our authority as Christians and as believers. Understand what we have. Because just because you don't know doesn't mean the devil's going to say, I'll leave you alone until you find out, then I'll be back. The more ignorant you are, the more he wants to steal from you, because he knows the less resistance he's going to get. Amen. So he wants to steal from you. But Jesus Christ has provided everything we need. I believe with all my heart, the very day that you were born, regardless of your circumstances, God, through Christ Jesus, had already provided everything you would need in life. Think about that for a moment. Take a Selah moment and think about that. But Pastor, why am I struggling here? Why am I struggling there? Well, number one, you need to know what the Word of God says about you and your circumstances. You ever heard the old phrase, knowledge is powerful? It really is. It really is. When I found out what God through Christ Jesus has done for me, I changed the way I think. Because you will never grow beyond your thinking. Say that again. You will never grow beyond your thinking. And usually your words reflect, your words and your actions reflect how you think. I found out a long time ago that not only did Jesus Christ die for my sins, but he died for my healing, my health. Also, so that my needs could be met. And I want to tell you something. I began to grab a hold of it and embrace it long before it materialized or manifested. And there's still a lot of things that haven't manifested yet, but that doesn't change a thing. If the Bible says it's mine, guess what? If the Bible says it's yours, it's why don't you make that confession for yourself? Say, if the Bible says it's mine, it's mine.
If the Bible says it's mine, it's mine.
Hallelujah. So, it may not have manifested yet. You may not can physically feel it or see it. But if the Word of God declares that it belongs to you, then it's yours. For it, let me give you an example. Peace. You may not feel too peaceful. Things may not be working out the way you think they should. But the Bible says peace belongs to us. The peace of God belongs to us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. Why? because thou art with me. In other words, I'm traveling through the valley of the shadow of death, but I refuse to allow this situation to steal my peace. I refuse to get over into fear. Y'all still with me? I refuse to get over into fear. I'm going to still praise the Lord. I'm going to continue to embrace what the Bible says belongs to me. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I don't have two pennies to rub together. Well, don't get in fear. Matter of fact, I would suggest if you ain't got two pennies to rub together, maybe you got one. Take that one and give it away in the name of Jesus. That's what the widow did. And Jesus standing right there watching. I like that. She gave her last, but Jesus saw it. He saw it. So what the Bible says is mine is mine. Oh, by the way, this widow, I don't think the Word of God says, I haven't seen it or heard anyone preach on it, but I'm going back to the widow's mite just for a moment. You know, Jesus said that she had given more than all those with plenty of money, said she has given more. I believe I'm going to see this widow in heaven one day. I believe she'll be there. Hope she will, but I believe she will. But this is just, I just want to say this to you. I do not believe that widow died poor. I don't believe she died poor. Simply because of what we just confessed during the offering. Give and it shall be given. And Jesus said this, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I don't believe the widow died poor. I believe she was blessed. Now, I can't take you to scripture and verse on that. I'm just telling you what I believe, simply because of the principle. Amen. So let me keep going here just for a few minutes. Here's what I want you to understand. Let me say this again. God already provided for us everything that we need. But if we're going to enjoy it or realize it, we've got to be in fellowship. First of all, we've got to get in the Word of God. And then we've got to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because He is going to talk to us. He is going to lead us. He is going to guide us. Amen? You hear me? But you have to understand, you got to know the Word of God. Let me say this again. You must know the Word of God. Because if you don't know the Word of God and you hear a voice or have a prompting, how are you going to know if it's the Holy Spirit or not? Because first of all, He will never tell you anything that goes contrary to what the Word says. Amen. He will never tell you, well, I know the Bible says this, but I'm telling you to do that. No, that's not the Spirit of God. I'm telling you that right now. That is not the Spirit of God. You don't want to follow that. Amen. He will never go crosswise the Word of God. But he wants to lead you every day of your life. And he wants you and me to be in close fellowship with him. And there's a song, I think a Miles man wrote it. It's an old song. It's called In the Garden. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In the song In the Garden? And I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it. But there's a verse that says, listen to this, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Brothers and sisters, that's communion. That's fellowship. And during the hard times, hear me good, during the hard times, during the times when you can't see any way out, seem like there's no answer, got to remember, he walks with you, he talks with you, and he reminds you that you are his own. Why would he do that? Because he takes care of his own. He takes care of his own. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken good care of me. I've had times in my life, and I know you have too, when I could, if I would have allowed myself, I could really be frustrated because sometimes things just, how many of you know sometimes in life things just don't make sense? Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes things just don't make sense. But what do? You remember who you belong to. You remember who you fellowship with. And you know and understand that he's going to lead you right out of the situation. Or he's going to give you answers for whatever situation that you are dealing with. No wonder the Apostle Paul said the communion of the Holy Spirit. We need him in our lives. Every day. We need to fellowship with him every day. Hallelujah. When we do that, we will find out that things are not as bad as I thought they were. Amen. Praise God. Before I quit, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, we'll go to verse 9, and musicians, you guys can come on back because I'm getting ready to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Now notice how this is written. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You still with me? Man don't understand the things of God. And that's the reason they scoff at the things of God. That's the reason some people tell you you're crazy for being a Christian, for believing in Christ Jesus. They don't understand God. They don't understand the things of God. But it didn't stop at verse 9, did it? Verse 10 says, everybody say, but God. Say it again.
But God.
Hallelujah. But God has revealed them to who? To who? But God has revealed them to us. How? How? But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Oh, think about that for a moment. Through the Holy Spirit, we have access to the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Say that again. No man knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I hope y'all got a hold of that. Don't let that slip. Let me read it to you again. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And he goes on to say, these things we also speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'm getting ready to close. But I want to encourage each and every one of you. Number one, stay in God's word. Number two, be mindful of the fact that the Spirit of God's dwelling on the inside of you. You have the Spirit of God. Number three, stay in fellowship with Him. Stay in fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have, I'm about out of time here for today. One of the ways that I stay in fellowship with Him, first of all, let me tell you this. Not only am I born again, hallelujah, I'm excited about that, but I'm also baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Glory to God. And there's two ways of communicating with God. Excuse me, with God. That's with our native tongue, in my case, English. But there's another way that's even higher than that, and that's in the Spirit. That's in the spirit. We may deal with that next week. I'm not sure. It just depends on how the Spirit of God directs me. But you know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 14, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's chapter 14. He says, I pray or I speak in tongues more than you all. Y'all remember reading that? Wonder why he would make that statement. Praying in tongues is a powerful thing. Because now you are beyond your own mind. You're in the spirit. It's called praying in the spirit. And I want to encourage each of you, first of all, if you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, you need to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you, not only do you pray in English, your native tongue, but you need to pray in other tongues every day as well. Just like the Apostle Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. Sometimes, just because we can't figure things out with our natural mind, we toss them aside. Listen, if the Bible says it's real, whether I understand it or not, it's real. If the Bible says it's true, it doesn't matter what I think, it's true. Y'all listening to me? I said, if the Bible says it's true, it doesn't matter what I think, it's true. See, God's not supposed to agree with me, I'm supposed to agree with him. And too many times we want God to agree with us in the way we think. But no, we're to agree with God. If God said it, that settles it, brother. That settles the issue. And I'm the one that's got to get with it. So I want to encourage you. During your devotional time, spend some time just praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. It's all the same. Fellowshipping with the Lord. And you will find that the Holy Spirit will be right there to minister to you, to comfort you, to lead you. Hallelujah. And give you peace, even though you may not mentally have the answer to every situation, but he can give you that peace of God that passeth all understanding. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, shout. Shout again. Just bless the name of the Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us to lead us.